Our scripture readings this morning, there are two. The first comes from the letter of James in the first chapter, verses 17 and 18. And this is James describing the way that God continues to be generous to us in our lives. And so this is in the first chapter. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And the second scripture passage comes from Matthew chapter 6, 25 and following. This is Jesus as he's talking to his disciples and giving them instruction around the Sermon on the Mount and his time together with the disciples. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's troubles are enough for today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the things that you know about our church's ministry is that through Reverend Dion, we started doing open gym basketball on Sundays after church. And so every now and then after meetings that take place here on site, I'll go down to the gym just to go and watch. And I'll kind of dribble the basketball around and I'll throw up a shot every now and then. But I pretty much stay on the sidelines. And the reality is that the guys on the floor, they're always encouraging me. They're telling me that I should get out there. But I have to acknowledge that I have a difficult time getting back out on the court. One, I'm like 10 years older than them, and so that's part of it. The other part, though, is that my ego can't take it. And that's because I remember a time long past when I could actually play this game. I had been playing organized basketball from the time I was 7 until I was about maybe 35 or 38, something like that. Into my late 30s, I played organized basketball. And then after a while, I started to kind of wane and wax on that, and Pam encouraged me to stop playing, primarily because she didn't like going to urgent care to have to pick me up. So I stopped playing basketball a little bit. But so I go down there and I watch them, and as I'm watching them play, the juices get flowing, and I want to get out there, but the reality is that I know I can't play like I used to. There was a time when I was a lot faster, I was in better shape, my skills were a lot sharper, and I look and I lament about those days long past. My ego gets in the way, of course, and it's like, you know, I used to be able to do that, but I can't do it anymore. So I don't go out there and I don't play because I remember what it used to be like. And I live in the past, and so I think to myself, okay, you know, I don't want to do that, and then I don't want Dion to have to take me to the hospital. It's just one of those things. So I decide not to play, so I really don't play with them pretty much at all. So I'm one of those people who sometimes finds myself living in the past and lamenting and longing for lost days, for the glorious times, the times that were in the past, and I know that I spend time reflecting on that, and so there are things that I won't do because I think about how things used to be. Now, is that you? Does that describe you? Are you somebody who is a person who longs for days gone by and the glory of the old days, the things that we used to be able to do, the skills that we used to be able to live into, all of the ways that we enjoyed this life that are not present now, and sometimes long for that so much that it affects us and how we see our lives today? Or maybe it is that you're one of those people who worries about the future. You think about the future and all of the things that are before you, and you're so worried about it that it weighs heavy on your heart and mind, losing sleep over it. I know people who sometimes lose sleep over the future. They worry about their health and the changes that they're going through. They worry about their family, their parents and their children and their grandchildren and their future. They worry about politics and the economy, and they see in our world so many challenges and changes, so much chaos that they worry about what tomorrow will bring. There are people who worry that they haven't socked enough away in their bank accounts to ensure their future as they come into retirement, or to make sure their kids are able to go to college, or to make sure they have a nest egg to leave to their children. And so maybe that describes you, that you're a person who more tends to worry about things in your life. Now, whether you're like, whether you're both of those, or maybe one or the other, sometimes I wonder if our worrying about the past and our thinking about the past and remembering how it used to be and longing for those days, or worrying about the future and thinking about what's going to come and knowing that that weighs heavy on us, if that keeps us from living fully in the present. That at some level we tend to miss the blessings and the gifts of this life because we spend our time focusing on other things, focusing on what used to be or what's going to come. Spending all of this time thinking about all of those things begins to weigh heavy on our hearts and our minds, and we sometimes, I think, miss the gift and the blessing of the day that we are in, in the very present moment that we are. The gifts and the blessings, they're all around us, and yet we spend time thinking about what they used to be or what they will be or how they're not going to be, and we find ourselves getting lost in that present moment. But I wonder if it's possible for us to find ways to get into this moment and not reflect on the past or the future. I wonder if the scripture passage is really intending that, the passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew. There are ways that we read that passage that says, you know, we shouldn't worry about things because God's going to take care of us. God will provide. We describe that all the time in our lives, that God will provide for us. But I wonder if the passage could also be read a different way, and that is, what good does worrying actually do in our lives? Maybe it is that we should be thankful for the present moment and all of the ways that we experience the blessings of God. And maybe if we could do that, that we would find that our lives would be much more peaceful. We'd find much more rest and joy in the moment, even though we know that the world that we live in, it does worry us. We are feeling a sense that both the past and the future are hemming us in. But at the same time, realize that maybe it is that if we can just pause in that present moment. Jesus was telling his disciples, don't worry so much about what you'll eat and what you'll drink or how you'll be clothed. Just live into the moment and experience the joy of this day. Now, you do need to know that what I'm saying is not that we shouldn't focus on what has been in the past, because the past is such a very important part of our lives, remembering where we come from and how we've gotten here, remembering experiences where we have fallen short, where we have not lived into who we desire to be in our lives, the regret and guilt that we have. Those are very important things because they inform the present. And they inform the future as well. So I'm not saying that that's unimportant, and neither am I saying that we should not worry about the future, because there is no doubt that being able to think about our future and what's before us, it does help to guide our steps, to make sure that we are taking care of and ensuring that our future is set, that we have amongst us in our own lives the sense that we are charting our steps by looking out into the future, by being engaged in what's going on in our world. I am not saying that those are not important. I do think that we have to be able to do both of those to make what we are living into today meaningful and to be able to fully understand where we come from and where we're going. But there are also days when we have to find ourselves setting those aside to be present in this moment. And that if we can find ourselves present in this moment, just sometimes for a short amount of time, what we're able to do is to experience gifts and blessings that we sometimes miss. There will be days that we do need to worry about the future, as Jesus says. The worries, they are there. There are times in our lives that we will have to focus on the past and remember where we come from, because that informs the present that we are living in. But there are also times like this, when we are in worship, where we find ourselves sitting in this present moment and experiencing the fullness of God's grace and mercy and love, giving thankful for the blessings that we experience every day, not the ones that we used to have, not the ones that we're worried about losing in the future, but the ones that are present with us right in this moment. And there are many. But I think what happens is that we focus so much on the past and the future that we miss what's going on right before us, right in our midst. But if we pause in that moment, we find ourselves being able to breathe in the gifts that God has provided for us and know that our lives, as they're informed in that moment, they will no doubt help us to shape the future that we hope to create through our lives. But for that moment, we pause and give thanks in our lives. As we gather around the table today, this is what we call the institution of Holy Communion, but it's also called the Eucharist. The word Eucharist reminds us that it is a meal of thanksgiving. We gather together and we do what's called the Great Thanksgiving, and we talk about and describe how God has been with us throughout the created order, how it is that God has continued to provide for us through the ministry of Jesus, how Jesus continues to breathe the Holy Spirit into our lives and our hearts and our spirits. And knowing that story is so very important about how it provides for the moment. But what we also know is that reminder to us is, as God has been, so God will be. As God has walked with our generations, so God walks with us in this moment. And God will continue to walk with us as we look to the future with hope. But what we are reminded of as well is when we come to the table and come around to gather, we pause in that present moment and know that the meal that we share, it is a meal of thanksgiving. It reminds us of the gifts and the grace that God has provided for us in our daily lives, the ones that we sometimes miss because we are so busy. There's so much going on, so much that we reflect on, that we miss that present moment and the blessings that are all around us. As I was walking around this morning, folks have been asking about my dog, Kira. I know that I've been preaching about it a lot, and it appears in my newsletter a lot, and so you all know what's been weighing on my hearts and minds. Tomorrow will be the 8th week of what was supposed to be only 4 weeks, according to the vet. She continues to have good days and bad days. We continue to live day by day. And I have to acknowledge that there are times when I'm sitting with her that I experience deep sadness, and that sadness comes out of remembering all of our 11 years. And so as she's sitting there before me, I remember the puppy years and all of the ways that she tore through our house and all of the excitement and joy that came with that. There are times that I remember her years of maturity when we would go on camping trips and hiking and we would go to the beach and we would take car trips and long for those days. And then there are those times when I remember moving to Washington and having her come up with us and realizing how important it was for us to have her with us as we made the transition from California to Washington. And I think about the green belts that we walk, and I think about the adventures that she experiences with us, and I have to acknowledge that there's deep sadness in that. And then there are those times when I'm sitting with her that I think about the future. I worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I know that the future is near and time is short. And so I spend a lot of time reflecting on my worries for tomorrow and the anxiousness that I have and realize that I'm not fully prepared for what's going to happen sometime soon. But when I do that, what I remember in this and what I think about is that while I'm reflecting on how sad I am and what I'm worried about tomorrow, that she's sitting right in front of me. And that I look at her and I realize that I have to live into the moment. And so when I sit with her, I realize when we take our walk, she doesn't walk as fast as she used to. She used to bound in front of me all the time, and she'd be pulling me on the leash. She doesn't do that anymore because she doesn't have that energy. But she's walking right beside me, and we're together. We sit down, and I try to feed her. She doesn't eat out of her bowl anymore, so I have to feed her by hand. And so when I feed her, she doesn't eat as much, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult. We have to kind of negotiate a little bit to try to get her to eat. But I realize that she's eating enough to continue on with energy, and she eats enough to chase bunnies in our backyard. And so as much as I worry and I'm sad about the fact that I have to negotiate with food, I realize, too, that she's eating enough to press on. And I worry sometimes as I'm sitting there, we'll be taking these walks. The walks are a lot shorter than they used to be, and they're a lot slower than they used to be. And so when we sit down at the park, we'll sit there and wait. And it used to be, you all can just guess what would happen most of the time when I was with her at the park. The first thing that would happen, my phone would come out, and I'd start answering emails and responding to text messages and reading books and listening to music.
On
but I made it a habit now to keep my phone in my pocket and just watch her. And as I watch her, I realize what a miracle she is, and I marvel at how she can, with this cancer, press on and continue to stretch, to strive on day to day, day by day. And I realize that that's what I'm doing too. I'm just living day by day. But I tell you that story because I feel like that's our lives too, in so many ways. That if we pause in the present moment, what we recognize is the gift and the blessing of every single day. We can reflect on how it used to be and worry about why it's not like that anymore. We can think about what tomorrow is going to bring and worry about all of the challenges and changes that are ahead. And that is an important thing for us to do in this life. But we can pause in this moment and give thanks to God for the gift of this life and all of the joys that this life brings. I'm sorry, I do this sometimes. I'm sorry if I do this. I'm going to do this. Every now and then I'll talk to somebody while I'm walking through the greeting time, and I'll bring it up as a sermon example, and this person doesn't know I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it anyways. Okay, so I was walking through, and I was talking to Molly, and Molly was telling me how thankful she is that her knees are feeling good and she's able to walk. And I said, Molly, how old are you? She said, 98. And then she reminded me, in November, Reverend Derek, I'm going to be 99. And I thought to myself, wow, what a great example of just that. That Molly is a person 98 years young and living each day thankful for the gift and the blessings of that present moment. So here's the great Thanksgiving that we're going to do. We're not going to do the liturgy as we normally do it. So here's the great Thanksgiving, is remembering just that. And so what I want to ask you to do is, in a time of silence, we have our kids, so it won't be too silent. That'll be okay. But what I want to ask you to do is, in this moment, to think about what that is for you. In this present moment, for what are you giving thanks? How is it that you are experiencing the gift of this present moment? Not worrying about what's ahead of you, what the rest of your day is holding, and what's going to come up in the next week. Not worrying about what happened yesterday and all of the challenges and changes that you're going through in your health and your life and your skills and everything. Just in this present moment, what is it that you are grateful for? What is it that you are thankful for? What is it that you come to the table to receive as a gift of grace today in this meal of Thanksgiving? And so let's pause for a moment in that and think of that as our great Thanksgiving today. How is it that you are living and thankful to God in this present moment? The great Thanksgiving that we do in the context of worship reminds us of who we are and whose we are. It reminds us that the God who created this world created each one of us. It reminds us of the gift of Jesus and the way in which Jesus' story and the Holy Spirit continue to abide and be present with us in this present moment. We know that as Jesus taught his disciples, he reminds us as well that there is much about this world that we need to be deeply concerned about. There are many ways that we continue to act in the world to be able to serve the God who has given us this life and to establish the kingdom of God through all of the ways that we live and through all the things that we do. But in this present moment, we won't worry about the food that will be on our table. We won't worry about the challenges and changes of the things to come. We won't worry about the past and think about all of the things that used to be. We will pause in this present moment and remember that what has been will always be, that the God who has given us life continues to give us hope and promise. And this God continues to fill us with abundant blessings. And as we experience the fullness of those blessings, we find our hearts filled with a great thanksgiving. On the night before Jesus was to give himself up for us and for all creation, he took a very common loaf of bread on the table around his meal. But he wanted to give it new meaning. And so he lifted it up to God and he offered it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after the supper, he took the cup and gave thanks to God and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join our hearts together for a word of prayer. Oh God, we thank you in this moment for all of the ways that your Spirit abides and blesses us. We are so thankful, oh God, in this holy moment that you have reminded us of your abundant blessings that we receive each and every day. There is so much that sometimes distracts us from that. So many things that we are worried about, so much busyness in our lives, so many ways that we are engaged in thinking about things in the past and in the future, and know that that weighs heavy on our hearts and our minds. But in this moment, oh God, you remind us to be still and know that you are God. Be still and experience the fullness of your grace, to experience the gift and the blessings that are all around us, that are truly a miracle, that fill us and that bless us and that abide with us every single day. We come to the table to experience a gift of a sign of that grace. Through the gift of Holy Communion. And so we pray, O God, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of us gathered here and on these gifts of grain and grape. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of this one loaf. The breaking of the bread is the sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. In the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table, and that is anyone who desires to come to this table to receive these gifts offered to you without price may come forward and do so. In this church, we practice what is called the intinction method. We'll offer you the bread, tear a piece off, dip it into the cup, and partake of the sacrament. As you're passing through, if you'd like to pause for a moment to offer a word of prayer, we would invite you to do that. As we have been over the last few months, we're going to continue to invite through the ushers, folks from the back to the front. As you're coming up, they're going to squeeze a little bit of hand sanitizer into your hands, and so just go ahead and wipe your hands together. We do want to be careful about the most vulnerable amongst us, and so as we share this meal, we do that for one another and for our community. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us then come to the table now and know that you have been invited just as you are. And as you come to the table, please do think about what I shared this morning. And as you're coming up, my prayer is that you'd be filled with this giftedness and that you would recognize the fullness of the blessings in this present moment. And as you do, partake of sacrament and know that it is a reflection of God's gifts offered to you through the institution of Holy Communion. Let's join together then in this holy meal.